Welcome to the Hump Day Podcast. My name is Patrick Kevin Robertson. It is May 24th, 2017. Now, today I am interviewing Marzette Williams, a.k.a. my spiritual buddy. And I've known Marzette. How long have we known each other?
Since 2008.
It's interesting how you found the church.
And let's
talk about that first, how you found the church.
Well, I was looking for ordination with any church. Okay. I wasn't thinking pre-Methodist,
any denomination,
okay. Just kind of like where God wanted me. I didn't know. And so I was referred to the pre-Methodist church by a Baptist pastor that I was working for.
Okay. That's a whole different theology, right. But that's interesting.
Exactly.
I think you want to get rid of you.
Right. But what he said to me, he says, I think you would really do well with the Free Methodist denomination because of the social justice focus and all that. That's what he said. I had never heard of Free Methodist.
I don't think Baptists really empower women either.
Right. Yes, they don't.
So
not traditionally.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, and our denomination empowers women. Okay, go ahead.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so he referred me to the Free Methodist Church to a superintendent at that time. I forgot his name.
Steve Fitch.
Steve Fitch, right? And Steve Fitch said they have two churches in my area, mm-hmm. which was your church, and a church in Eagle Rock, I think.
Okay, it's Verdugo.
Verdugo
under Pastor Susan at that time.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Two churches. And so I visited both churches.
Okay.
And of course, I wanted to go to Verdugo because it was a female pastor.
Right.
And I felt like I needed to see a female pastor in action. I need to see her pastoring. I thought it would empower me to see that.
A mentor.
Right. Exactly. And so, I don't know if I ever told you this. I'll tell you now.
So it was good.
Let me tell you this.
Right in front of the microphone.
Right in front of the mic. I'm not sure if I told you this.
See, everyone does that. Everyone throws stuff. I have no idea what they're going to throw.
Well, because they never thought about it before, I think. But I had actually, because Susan knew that I was going here and there,
right.
and that I had to choose. Mm-hmm. And so I had, and I had actually told her, you know what? I choose your church. I choose to come to her. I actually told her officially. Yes. I said, officially, I felt like I'm supposed to be at your church.
Right.
And she goes, great. And she gave me a welcome thing and a welcome packet and all that. And gave me a schedule and kind of, you know, what I was going to be doing. And she was preparing to give me an official introduction.
Okay. To mentoring.
Okay. And to starting the ordination process, like being at her church for that purpose.
Okay.
And about maybe 2 days later, maybe the next day, I felt in my spirit God say, no, you're supposed to go to the other church.
Okay.
Now, he didn't say Pastor Kevin because I didn't notice. You know, it wasn't like, oh, I didn't even know to say, oh, Pastor Kevin. But it was just the other church, that church you all that. And I thought, no, Lord, like, you know, because Verdugo was nice and quiet and simple, you know, and they had the cute little kids there. And my baby was a kid. You know, it was kind of it was more intimate,
more comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Right. It felt more girly oriented, you know.
Girly oriented.
It was really sweet and soft and all that. And I remember saying, Lord, I already told her yes, officially.
Right.
I cannot tell her, like, I was so I started getting butterflies and kind of anxiety because it was like I told her yes.
Right.
And now I have to go tell her no. It took about 2 days for me to, maybe more than that, about maybe a week, I think, actually. So it took about 2 days for me to know that God was saying it. But then about another week, I think, before I actually told her because I was scared to tell her.
Of course. Especially when you told her yes.
I told her yes, I'm good.
Put the whole package together.
Right. And then I had to end up coming to Marina. And so, which not that I didn't like Marina. It's just, it was, you know, it was wonderful. I thought it was very active and live. You know what I mean? It was really, people were nice when I came here. But it was just, I wanted to go there and felt like it was a better fit because of the female pastor. And it just felt sweet. So I ended up here at Marina because God said he wanted me here.
Right. Now, how did that conversation go with Pastor Susan? You just said, God told me?
I said, I feel led to go to Marina. I was like, I'm so sorry. I kept apologizing because I'm, you know, that was like, that is bad.
So then you started coming to this church in 2008?
Yeah, it was fall of 2008.
So we're talking about almost 9 years?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good night, girl.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
We've known each other for 9 years.
9 years.
Okay. Yeah. Then you began your... Now, it's not like you just began your schooling process. You already did your schooling process.
Right. I was already in a master's program.
Okay.
At Fuller Seminary.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, this is interesting. Let's go back to your calling, because... Mm-hmm. You're a single mother. You were a single mother. Or still are a single mother.
I am a single mother, yes.
To a wonderful son.
Yes.
That I think is a little spoiled, but he's a great kid.
Right. He's a little spoiled. He is. He's such a
I love
baby.
The kid.
Baby.
But tell us, as being a single mother and stuff, when did you receive Christ in your life? When did you decide to follow Christ? Were you brought up in it? Because I don't know these.
You don't know?
No.
Really?
I have no idea.
Oh, my God. You don't know me, man. All right.
That's why I put a mic in front of us and
stuff. You don't
talking.
Know me. Right. I gotta, okay, I'm sorry. He knows me very well. He's a great pastor. All right.
He doesn't know any details.
He doesn't know my details. All right. Well, no, I was raised in church
right. My
whole life.
Okay.
But I had three phases. So the first phase, what I call phases, when I was 13, I officially accepted Christ. Like, I actually had an understanding of I need to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Okay. I was 13.
13 years old.
Right. And then and then when I was about 15, I began actually reading the Bible on my own, studying the Bible, mm-hmm. like trying to understand. So,
right.
But then phase two was when I was 17. When I was 17, I remember that's when I was Pentecostals called filled with the Holy Ghost,
okay.
right? Where you start speaking in tongues, and I started having a real spiritual experience,
okay.
right?
Right.
But I still had not made a commitment to live for God, because mm-hmm. I was raised in a Baptist church.
Right.
We didn't, you know, it was more of like this ritualistic rule thing. You know, you go to church, you kind of just do God thing, but you don't really know that you have to commit your life in a way to God,
right.
in obedience and
right.
trust and surrender. Like, I didn't know about that
mm-hmm.
at 17. I don't remember ever being taught that. Maybe I was, I just didn't hear it, but I don't remember.
Do you think it was more focused on behavior rather than
right.
okay, transformation?
Right.
Okay.
Right. So as long as I looked good on the outside behaviorally, you know what
right,
I mean? That
right.
was okay.
Yeah.
So then, but it wasn't until I was 23,
mm-hmm.
I was 23, that I actually, it was like literally, I remember a light, it's like a light came on. I know now it was the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
but it was like a light came on that said, the light came on in my mind and actually said, I was supposed to live my life for God.
Okay.
Like, try to surrender, trust, and obey Him in every area of my life.
Right.
That never occurred to me prior to being 23.
Really?
Never occurred. It was amazing. I remember being like, oh my God, I'm supposed to live. Like, I'm supposed to try to obey God in every area
right.
of my life and
yeah.
surrender to Him. That was like huge. Because
mm-hmm.
no one, well, I don't remember anyone ever telling me that.
Right, right.
And that's when my life changed
right.
at 23. But by then, I had already been married. I had already been separated from my husband.
Okay.
I had already been through college.
Right.
So, you know, my life had been pretty full up until, you know, by
okay.
then.
So when you went through a divorce,
mm-hmm.
was Sylvester born? When did he come around?
Sylvester?
Yeah.
Well, I had Sylvester when I was 19.
19?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I was a young mommy. I was married at 18.
Okay.
Had my baby at 19.
19.
Which wasn't a year later. It was like months. I got married then turned 19 months later.
Okay.
So I had a baby I got married, had a baby all within 12 months.
Okay.
So, yeah. And so he was 19.
Right.
And then his father and I separated when he was three.
Okay.
3 years old. And, yeah. So. That's
okay. So then you're going through divorce and now you're thinking, okay, I need to be obedient. And all
oh, yeah.
of a
so
you
what?
Revelation.
I didn't tell you what happened with that either.
This is a podcast,
oh,
not
I'm
just
sorry.
Between you and I.
I'm so sorry, people. Okay, I don't know how to have a podcast.
I'm asking questions.
Right, I'm sorry. Okay, you gotta tell me.
There's actually two people that listen to this.
Right, okay, I'm sorry.
Okay.
All right, so at 23,
okay.
My husband and I, we were not divorced yet, but
right.
we were separated.
Okay.
So I remember thinking, oh, shoot, well, if I'm supposed to try to obey God, maybe I should be with my husband.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It like dawned
yeah.
on me, maybe
yeah.
I should be with him. And so I ended up telling him like, okay, well, let's be together because you know, God wants us together and
right,
all that kind
right.
of stuff. So we ended up moving in with
okay.
one another. Now, I'm going to
so
tell
you felt
this,
you were being obedient.
Yeah, I felt I was being obedient
okay,
because
it's going to make this marriage work.
Right, because
okay.
that's what God wants me to do. Now I don't know, but it's okay. My baby won't hear this podcast. He don't listen to podcasts, but old people listen to podcasts. Just want to let you know. So I'll go ahead and say the story.
Okay.
So But yeah, so we moved in together. Literally, it was, we moved in for exactly for 6 days together. Okay. So day one, I remember feeling like, cause I didn't want to move with my husband. I didn't like him. That's just the truth. Okay. I didn't like him.
Right.
So but I did it because I felt like that's what God wanted me to do.
Right.
So day one, I get home and you know he was doing some things that I thought, God, this is what you want for me. Okay, well I'll do it, Father, because okay. this is what you want. Then day two, something else happened. I go, okay, Father, well, this is what you want, you know.
Right.
And then I said, because I want to live for you, so this is what you want me to do, I'll do it.
Okay.
And it wasn't like horribly bad things. It was just things that...
Just drove you nuts?
Well, no. Well, for me, okay. like, for example, God got me off of secular everything, secular TV and radio right. since I was, when I was like 18, 19.
Okay.
Well, I get home and I hear like, rapping in my house and cursing music okay. and I was like, Lord, I pray here and this and that, I worship right, and I don't right. the atmosphere, you know. And then I get home and he's like drinking beer and I'm like, oh God, you know, I never did drink, and you know yeah. so things that were just for me
right.
that were disturbing, but not saying that God was condemning him, but it was just me
right,
the
right.
me thing,
just you on a personal basis
right personal right. things that God had, you know, that God didn't want me doing.
Mm-hmm.
So then, but I said, okay, Lord, well, fine. You know, I'll deal with whatever you want me to, because right. this is my husband. I got to be with him. That's what I thought. So this was my thinking. Well, I never forget Friday came. And on Friday, he said, you know what? I've been thinking.
I've been thinking. Okay.
He said, I'm not, well, people know I'm not upset about it. My ex-husband and I, for real, are like almost best friends. Okay. Like, we are close. Like,
right.
we
and
have
you did
a great relationship.
Raising Sylvester.
Right. So it's not okay. like, I'm not trying to talk about him because now right. now we laugh at it yeah. and we're like, haha, we were young, we're right. crazy. So I don't want to ever like make him
Absolutely.
Look bad, because he's not. He is like the best dad okay. and best ex-husband I've ever known for anybody. So right. I'm going to put that out there.
And the only ex-husband.
And the only ex-husband, right. But he's just wonderful. He's a wonderful ex-husband. Okay. I love my ex-husband.
Okay.
All right. So, but so he came to me, he goes, you know, I've been thinking, you are the one who a few months ago decided you don't want to be with me anymore. And I have a girlfriend.
Okay.
So I'm going to be with her for a few months and let me see how that's going to work.
Okay.
And if that doesn't work, then I'll be with you. I was like, praise the Lord. I said, thank you, Jesus. Okay. I said, yeah, you go be with her. You do that. Go be with your girlfriend. Okay. Let's see if that works. I said, I hope it works. And praise the Lord, he's still with her to this day. So he's still with her to this day. Yes. That was way how many years ago?
This is the Lord has answered your prayer.
I said, the Lord answered my prayer, because I was like, thank you, Jesus. But now, in that very moment, though, because of my ego, because mind you, we've been together the whole week. We've been sleeping together the whole week. So my ego yeah. was like, oh, okay. You know, in that very moment. Right. But the next day, we were at the beach hanging out like we normally, because we hang out, you know. Yeah. So the next day we're at the beach, everything's fine, you know, because okay. we just know we're not together right. and he's gonna be with his girlfriend, yeah. so we're good. So,
and his girlfriend was okay with this?
Well, I'm sure he didn't tell her he was living with me. I'm sure he didn't tell her that. I mean, you know, but she's okay now.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
We hang out, right. you know, all that. She's good now. Right.
So where does it get to the point? Okay, obviously, God answered your prayers, or he's with another
he's
person
with
that's more acceptable to him.
Right,
and
exactly.
Stuff like, more compatible.
Mm-hmm. More compatible,
more
yes.
compatible than you and him were. So, where does it get to the point where the Lord put on your heart, I want you to go in ministry?
Oh, gosh. Well, that was before I left him.
Oh, really?
Before we left each other, yes. I was 20. So, so when I was married to him,
okay.
I was in college, and I used to come home at night and pray in the bathroom.
Right.
We lived in a one bedroom. We lived in an apartment, had one bedroom, one bathroom,
okay.
a living room, and a kitchen. That's
right.
all we had.
Right.
And so I used to have to pray in the bathroom because I needed to spend time with God
mm-hmm.
alone, and we only had a bedroom and a bathroom
right.
and a living room and a kitchen.
Right.
So my only private place was the bathroom. So one night I went to a revival. And I was at that point, my major in school was nursing. I wanted
okay.
to be a registered nurse.
Okay.
And so that night I went to the altar at a revival, at a youth revival, and the preacher said, God has a purpose for your life, and whatever you choose for your career path, make sure it's what God wants, because that'll make you most happy.
Right.
I had never heard that, and I'm 20 years old, I had never heard anyone say God had a purpose and a will for my career and
okay.
my life. Like,
and you grew up in church.
I grew up in church.
And you never heard
that
God has a purpose and a will for you.
Never. Okay. So that means I'm living 20 years. So I go to the altar and I told him, I said, well, how do I know God's purpose in my life? I said, because I never heard that before. Right. And I asked the pastor that. And so he prayed for me and he said, well, he said, after tonight, God's going to tell you. So I figured, okay, well, God's going to tell me.
Right.
So I get home that night. I go in the bathroom to pray. I'm like, okay, God, he said, you got to tell me, what is your purpose in my life? Well, I literally heard God in a voice.
Okay.
In a voice at that point, the Lord said to me, change your major to English, and I want you to be an evangelist. He used the word evangelist at that point. Now, the English thing, I was like, okay, well, Lord, I don't get it why, but okay, fine. I've been in school almost 2 years now.
Right.
So that's going to kind of mess me up.
Right.
But fine. You said do it. I said, but Lord, the evangelist thing, I said, Lord, I don't want to do that. Yeah. I said, but if you want me to, you make it happen, but that's not what I want to do. So that was it. But I heard God that was the first time I had heard God in an audible voice. I heard an audible voice at that point.
And usually God's will is something we don't want to do.
Yeah.
You notice that?
Oftentimes it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially in the beginning phases.
Like what you were saying, if this is your will, I don't want to do it. And so we would sometimes do everything opposite. Be like, Jonah, I'm going the opposite direction. So you kind of chose to say, I don't want to do it, but you continue to be obedient?
Well, what happened was, I said, Lord, if this is really you, then you make it happen.
Okay.
So that was in August of 2000. I was 20. August of 2000. In October, I went to a Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
No one knew me at Bible study. It was just my cousin and I and people we didn't know.
Right.
And they asked me if I could teach.
Okay.
Now, I had never taught the Bible in my life.
Okay.
But they just randomly said, can you teach the Bible study? That was crazy. So I remember I said, God, if you want me to know, it's August, then you show me. So I forgot that I had told God that.
Right.
So the Bible study, I didn't know anybody there. I taught. I never forget, I taught a Mark. I know what I taught. I can remember something that I taught.
Somewhere in the book of Mark.
Right. Okay. Well, I can tell you this as well, but Jesus followed the tradition of man.
Right.
So then a woman there, who I didn't know from Adam, said, God has called you to preach. And he said he told you, but you don't believe him, but he's going to show you.
Oh, really?
And I said, okay. And I was kind of embarrassed, though, because remember, I was raised in a denomination that women did not preach.
Right.
Evangelists, you hear about that sometimes.
Right.
But to hear the word preach and a woman, that was not the way.
And you grew up in a church that did not promote
women preachers. No, we had women Sunday school teachers at the most, right? So that was October. And then around November, December, my church, the Baptist church I was raised in, the first lady, which is our pastor's wife, said, we're having a women's conference and we want you to be a speaker. Now, mind you, I had not been preaching nowhere. So for her to come ask me that out of the blue,
they wanted me to preach
at a woman's, they didn't say preach because remember, women don't preach in the Baptist church. Right. Want me to speak at a women's conference.
Okay.
So, but it was preaching because I was preaching the Bible, but they called it speak because remember, women don't preach. So
they speak.
We speak, right? Exactly. So So here I am. Remember, God in August, God said I was. He called me. October, the woman told me he was going to show me, and I taught in October. Then here I am in February because I was asked in November. In February that following year, I spoke at a woman's conference.
Okay.
And then from that point on, the Lord had just began, like, literally people began asking me within the Baptist church to women's things, women's groups and conferences. They began asking me to teach. Now, I was not in seminary. I was not anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I came to my last year of college, and the Lord impressed in my heart to go to seminary.
Okay.
I had never heard of seminary. I thought it was for...
You do not even know what the word seminary
is. I didn't know. Like. I went on my computer and typed in seminary.
Okay.
Because I didn't know what that was.
See, if I typed that, I couldn't spell it.
Right. You're so funny.
Thinking of spell check.
Right, spell check.
Or voice seminary.
Right. So I typed it in.
Okay.
And Talbot Seminary came up, which was Biola, right. And then Fuller.
Now, so Biola, they don't believe in empowerment of women either, do they?
I don't know. know.
I don't think so.
I don't know about that. I'm not sure, but yeah. There was two.
There was two.
And I went to orientation for both, trying to figure out which one to go to. And I felt God strongly say, go to Fuller.
Okay.
Now, then I said, Lord, what's my major? And I heard the Lord say, Master of Divinity. I mean, no, I'm sorry. I didn't hear that with a voice. I felt it in my spirit.
Right.
Like, Master of Divinity. I look at their program, and that was the longest degree there.
Okay.
And then that degree said for pastoral studies.
Right.
And I'm thinking, well, I'm not going to be a pastor, but okay, God, well, you said that, so I'll just do it. I had no idea why I was in seminary, because I was not, when God said evangelist, to me, evangelists just go around preaching when they're asked. Right. That's what I thought.
Right.
So fast forward, I get to seminary and people are asking me, well, why are you here? What's your goal? And I would say, I don't have a goal. God told me to be here. Right. So I'm in seminary for almost 2 years, just there.
You were in seminary?
In seminary. For 2 years. Just there, not knowing.
Okay.
My second year, I'm in class, and I hear and it was a class called Women's Spirituality. The instructor begins to prove scripturally that women being forbidden to preach is a man thing and not a God thing. So she went from Genesis to Revelation showing that.
Oh, really?
Right. Now, I had been taught women are not preachers and pastors.
Right.
And I also proclaimed that.
Well, the thing is, what's interesting, because I remember you telling me when we first met that I'm going to marry a pastor.
Right.
That I can't be a pastor. I'm going to marry a pastor. Do you remember telling me that?
Well, I said that was my plan.
Yeah, that was your plan.
Because when I got here was 2008, fall of 2008. 2007 was when God changed my mind.
Okay.
But my plan prior to 2007 was I was going to marry a pastor so I could lead a church. Because, you know, that kind
needed
of
him.
I needed him to do it.
Right.
So, for 2007, I'm in seminary, I'm in class, and the instructor proved scripturally that women being forbidden to preach was was a man thing, not a God thing. So I'm sitting in class and I'm like, literally, I felt my heart like drop to my stomach.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, God, because I've been saying to people, women cannot preach. And I've been saying this. I had a friend whose sister was a preacher, and we would sit up and talk about her and say, she's wrong. She wants to be a man.
Right.
And this, you know, we would say, oh, God, she was so horrible for this, right? Because she was a pastor.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you were very judgmental.
I thought it was wrong. I thought it was wrong, right? And so when the instructor was teaching this, my heart dropped to my stomach. And I literally heard the Holy Spirit say at that moment, I heard a voice to me say, I've called you to pastor like that. He said, I've called you to pastor. He emphasized you. He said, I've called you to pastor. Now, you know how, and for you listeners, you know how you have classroom chairs that are like the what do you call it? Like, you know, the L shape where you're sitting in the chair. I literally was falling out of my chair to that because I was getting weak.
Oh, really?
And I couldn't hold myself up, so I'm like having to hold on to this side of the chair to keep myself from falling out of the chair. Because when I heard God say, I've called you, that's what I've called you to do.
You were actually in class.
I was in class.
Okay.
And I was like, no, Lord, because I became weak because I was like, Lord, no, that can't be right. Like, it was just, that was, for me, the last thing I ever wanted to hear.
Right.
And that was in the fall of 2007.
Okay.
So now, I get to work the next day with this Baptist pastor.
Right.
And he goes, I feel like God wants... Now, I'm sorry. I told God. I said, Lord, I will never tell anybody that you told me that. I said, Father, I will not, because I was embarrassed. To me, that was a man. Men were pastors. Men.
Right, right.
Not female.
Right.
Men. Not male. I mean, not female, but male. That's a male thing. It's masculine. I'm not doing that.
It's masculine.
It's masculine. Okay. And I said, Lord, I won't tell anybody that.
Okay.
Like, it was like, no. I get to work the next day. The pastor that referred me to the Methodist Church.
The Baptist pastor. That does not believe in the empowering of women.
Right.
Okay.
Bob Logan. I love him.
Okay.
He said, where's that? Now, mind you, he's a church planter. He's also a professor at Fuller.
Okay.
He goes, where's that? I feel like God is preparing you for pastoring a church. And I'm supposed to help him do. I'm supposed to help with that.
Really?
Yes. And he goes, so now I'm working for him, right?
Right.
He says that he has church because he's also a pastoral coach.
Right.
He goes, I'm going to coach you for free. And he says, and I'm going to have you read books while you're on the clock. about pastoring and leading a church and leading churches because he writes books and he has books all over the place. Yeah. So he gave me his books to read on the clock. So mind you, he gave me an hour on the clock while he's paying me to read Chuck's books on church growth. I mean, church leadership and pastoring. Okay. Is that crazy?
Yeah, that's crazy.
So that
and what's interesting, you finished Fuller, right?
No, I was still at Fuller.
But I'm looking now, and now you finished Fuller, correct? And you have a degree in what?
A Master's of Divinity.
Okay, and you also went. You're going.
I'm back at Fuller now.
Back at Fuller, getting what?
A Doctor of Ministry.
A Doctor of Ministry. Yeah. So we're talking about a very educated woman here, a very educated person, administrator, which I'm totally like, this is crazy, and excited for you, but it hasn't been easy for you. Has it?
No, it is. It is not.
Because we've noticed that when you're in the ministry, God calls you. So a lot of people think, "Hey, man, all the doors are going to be open. People will just embrace you. People will love you, care about you." But why do you think it's so difficult to be obedient, especially in the calling of ministry?
I can tell you in retrospect why.
Okay.
Now,
that's the best way to tell.
Yeah, right? Yes,
yeah.
Every problem that I've ever had, I realize it's a me problem.
It's a me problem.
A me problem. Mm-hmm. Because if I am obeying God, then it may look like things are bad.
Right.
But if I just continue to obey, He'll work it out.
Okay.
So even if people are resisting me or it seems that they're closing doors, if it's not about me, then I don't care.
Right.
You know, let them close the door. But if I'm obeying God, He's going to open the right doors.
Right.
So as long as I am surrendered in my will, then I'll be okay. But the problem is that most of us are not surrendered in our will. Most of us want things when we want them, how we want them. We want people to like us how we want. You know, we want things our way. But if I could just let go of my way to begin with. And I see what happens, most of us, we have to go through I was going to say H-E-L-L in hot water, but you know, we have to, what they call it, H-E-L-L in hot water. We have to go through that, right?
Okay. Hell.
Hell.
Okay.
And then decide, okay, well, I'm going to just let God do it now. Right? Right. We go through everything. We fight, we scream, we holler. Okay, all I can do is let God do it. No, I should, in the first place, let God do it and enjoy my life. Let Him do it and enjoy life.
Right.
Let me just enjoy my life. Father, you fight. You do whatever got to be done to make whatever happen that you want to happen for my life. Right. I just have to obey you. And if obeying you means I have to sit down for 5 years and do absolutely nothing, then I'll do it.
Yeah.
If obeying you means that I have to stand up and shout for 5 years, and I'll do it. Whatever obeying God looks like, I will do it and be okay with the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is we want to control how we do things and the outcome.
Right.
So now I'm learning, God, if you want this for me, then I just need to listen and obey and let you do it.
Right.
And so the problem has always been me. So if God is calling any of us to anything, like even in being a woman in ministry, well, people will resist that, but that's okay.
Right.
If God wants me to be on a certain platform, He will do it.
Yeah.
I just have to obey Him.
Right.
And if someone is being ugly with me or rude or whatever, that's okay. I just gotta make sure I stay in love.
Right.
I stay in God's in his heart and in his mind about them.
Right.
And then things be fine.
Right.
That's, I've learned that now. Like, let people talk, let them act, let them say whatever they want to say. It's okay.
Right.
I need to just obey God and love.
Yeah.
And that's it. And that makes it easy.
Absolutely.
That makes it easy.
And then what's interesting, you ordained, do you remember when, obviously you remember when you ordained.
Mm-hmm.
What year was that?
2015.
Now, and to be ordained by the Free Methodist Church, you had to be interviewed by the MEG Board, the Minister of Education and Guidance Board, which I happen to be on.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, one of the questions was asked you, and I'm kind of leading in a direction here, was asked, you depend on every decision that you make is basically the Lord told me this, the Lord told me not to, and all this stuff. And you were challenged in that meeting. And I said in the meeting, every time Marzette says the Lord said this, she's been absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
And so you and I have been in this conversation how people like me, white people, and have a different understanding of prayer than somebody that's black. Mm. And do you remember that conversation?
I remember.
Okay, I would love to talk about that, because to me, I think when white pastors need to listen and learn. Mm. And when we had that conversation, I was going, I never thought of that. Mm. Because I've never had to experience it.
Well, because when you have a power in your hand, Pastor Kevin.
No, this is what,
No. Well, no, this is a... I'm sorry.
You're right. No, go ahead. It's the truth. When you have all power in your...
Okay, when you have... Yeah, when you are the person in position of power...
Right.
Well, it's not... I mean, granted, white people love God. There are white people who love... I'm not saying that's not a thing. But what I'm saying is that whenever you are a person that has to depend on God...
Okay.
For everything. And it's not just black people, because there are some black people. I mean, actually, most pastors I know, I was just telling a friend of mine, I don't really know. I may know one or a couple pastors that actually depend on God for everything.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So it's not
just a white thing. No, let me say this. What you just said, I don't know many pastors that depend on God fully.
Right.
That's what you said. Okay.
It's true.
Okay.
Well, and this is the thing. One is because pastors are men. Mm-hmm. So it's up, you know, and I'm not. But this is the thing, you know, men, and I think particularly white men, of course. Right. But when you are in position of power, then you pretty much can control things. Right. You know, you can control. And if you have a certain level of control.
Right.
In my case, I need God for everything.
Right.
I mean, I need God to pay my bills. I need him to, you know, take care of my son. I mean, I needed him. Right. I didn't have the power to do anything.
Correct.
So I have to be able to hear what he has to say, because I don't have the wisdom. Yeah. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do anything. And so everything that I've attained has been because God has told me how to do it, you know, and when to do it. And, you know, the what's, the when's, the how's of everything. Right. So, and God is speaking to everyone.
Correct.
Everyone. God is not just saying, oh, well, I speak to Marzette because she's a little black girl, don't know nothing. No, no. That's not true. God is speaking, but most people are not in tune.
Right.
And they're not trying to listen, because, again, we think, Christians will say, no, I don't know anything. I know God. I know I have to depend on him.
Right.
No, you don't really believe that, because if you did, then you'd be listening more than anything.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so that's the thing. We are proud, so we don't listen.
Yeah. No, and the thing is, we just went out to breakfast, and you were talking to me about the Lord put on your heart that you want an eagle church, a church. And if you look right there.
Oh, wow, you have an eagle.
I'm pointing to the wall, and it says eagle on this. And I was told, so impressed. Oops, let me say this. It says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Isaiah chapter 40. Mm. This has been in my office since I came here. So what, 18 years?
Mm.
And so when you were bringing up the eagles, it just resonated in me.
Mm.
I got the answer to that in front of me for 17 years.
Wow.
And so tell me what you were telling me about the eagles.
Well, the Lord, in January this year, I was in prayer on a Monday, and I heard the Lord say, you are an eagle.
Okay.
And he said, and I want you to birth eagles.
Okay.
So as I began to allow the Holy Spirit to elaborate on that and enlighten my mind to that, and then I began to research it also online.
Because you're not a bird person. It's not like you're saying.
I don't know about birds. I don't know. I'm scared of birds. Actually, tell you the truth.
Okay.
I am.
But for the Lord to say, I want you to be an eagle, and you're thinking, I'm not understanding the whole bird analogy.
Exactly.
Okay.
So I immediately got my phone.
let me Google
the Bible and eagles. I Googled something like that, right? Trying to see, what does that mean?
Right.
And so one thing that the Lord highlighted to me is that eagles wait on what's called a thermal wind.
Okay.
to fly. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they'll wait for days until a thermal wind comes, and then they glide or soar rather, right? They don't flap their wings like other birds, kind of flap, 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 flap. He said they wait on the thermal wind sometimes for days.
Right.
And when they catch it, it takes them longer. It takes them a longer distance with less effort.
Okay.
Because they're actually flying on that thermal wind. That wind is keeping them up in the air and pushing them along.
Right.
And so he told me that the Holy Spirit was the thermal wind.
Right.
And that I needed to be a keen listener. I need to be keenly in tune or in the frequency of the Holy Spirit. Mm. And then I would not be like the regular birds, kind of just flapping.
Right.
And he would show me that. He said most people are chickens. That's what he said.
Okay.
And then so like when I would be like kind of doing certain things with the last year, like kind of like, you know, in a frantic, he goes, that's chicken, that's chicken, that's chicken.
All right.
And he began to show me that chickens, what do? They're all together, right? They're all in a pack. He goes, eagles, you know, you they're kind of far and few. They're here and there. You don't see them in packs because they're on a certain frequency.
I love it.
And so he began to show me that. And he said, you're the birth eagles. And he said, but basically an eagle is one characteristic mainly is someone who is in tune with the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
In tune. In the frequency and flow of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And he said, I was to birth them. So teaching people, my disciples, to be in his frequency and to obey it. And it seems to be something that is working, but it's not a hard, people think that hearing from God is, for believers, it should not be this far and few big deal.
Right.
Like when people, I heard someone say, when people say they hear from God all the time, I get skeptical. And I'm like, no, I'm skeptical. And people, when you got Christians that say, I don't hear from God, or I don't, that to me is a problem. Right. Like that to me, that's when I question who you walking with. Because you mean to tell me you so cuckoo that you gonna walk with a God that you think you can't hear,
right,
that you think that is not speaking?
Right.
Like that is crazy. Like God, we read in the Bible, God speaking to everybody that he's in relationship with.
Right.
So why is he not speaking to you?
That's and why not are true. You not listening?
Why are you not right?
Yeah.
Well, you're not listening because you don't think he's speaking.
Right.
You think he's speaking to just the pastor or the bishop or the special people.
Right.
But he's speaking to every believer.
Right.
God is giving us direction. I mean, the Lord was literally, I'll hear God say things like, don't wear your hair like that today. Or when I'm preaching, don't wear that lipstick. You know what I mean? Like that lipstick right there, don't wear that. You know, literally, like the Holy Spirit will give us. He will, you know, as we grow in tune with him, but we have to practice that. We have to give ourselves to being in tune.
Right.
And he'll guide us just like he did in the Bible.
Yeah.
How he will say, go left, go right, do this, do that. Don't say that right now.
Right.
You know what I mean? Those kind of things.
Don't choose that battle.
Don't
choose that battle.
Exactly.
Don't forgive. So, okay.
As
we wind the podcast down, okay, let's say someone's listening going, oh man, she's using cuckoo bird analogies and chicken analogies and eagle analogies. But you got two people listening and saying, okay, I can lean one way. I can say, Pastor Merch is nuts, about listening to God in a direction, about wearing a lipstick or doing all this stuff. But you made a lot of sense when you said, I know very few pastors, if any, that really listen to God.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's look at it this way. Somebody listening and says, I really want to hear God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a situation that I don't know if I should go left, I don't know should I go right. Or a situation when they're going through a divorce like you went through, or a single mother that you have had to raise, Sylvester. In fact, for you guys that are listening to the podcast, Sylvester's going to college
in the fall. He's going to live on campus. He's leaving me.
I know. That's going to be hard on you. I know it is. You're going to be living on campus. That's your fault.
I'm living on campus, right.
He's stalking mother. But so they're thinking, how, Marzette, how do I begin to listen?
Mm-hmm.
Let's do that. How do I begin to listen to the voice of God?
I would say, first thing that this is what I even taught my son, because I wanted him to learn to listen to God in prayer. And to help discipline ourselves, I would say, we all have phones, right?
Right.
Set your phone, like just decide, okay, each day I'm going to take 10 to 15 minutes with God. Because it takes time, right? So set your phone for 10 minutes, 15, whatever you decide, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then say a quick prayer, like, Lord, bless my time with you. Speak to me, Lord, you know, whatever you want to say, something very quick, mm-hmm. speak to me, whatever, just kind of get your, you know, whatever you want to say. Lord, bless this time. Help me to hear from you right now. Here I am.
Right.
And then read a scripture, read something, just for a few minutes, read a scripture. Mm-hmm. I suggest you read something in the New Covenant. So that means read something from Acts to Jude, right? Okay. Read something there.
Okay.
Because it's the reason why I say that, but we don't have time for me to tell you that. Okay. But read something Acts of Jude. Just read something for a few minutes and then just sit quietly. So, but you're, the reason you set your clock is because you want to spend at least the first minute saying your quick prayer, the next maybe 3 or 4 minutes reading the scripture, mm-hmm. and then that last 5, 6 minutes just listening. And I say set your clock is because you know that you're going to sit there quietly until that alarm goes off.
Right.
Because sometimes we're looking like, okay, what time is it? Okay. What time is it? We get anxious. So you know that you're going to sit quietly until your alarm goes off. Just sit there quietly. And you're not listening for an audible voice necessarily. But as a believer in Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives in you.
Right.
So there is an inward voice. And I want to say God speak. I'm learning now when I'm teaching this, I say the Lord communicates.
Mm.
Because whenever we say speak, we're always listening for someone who's speaking, like I'm talking right now, mm-hmm. or Kevin's talking right now. But it is speaking, but it's a spiritual voice. It's a still small voice that we hear inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
Some call it a gut feeling, but I don't like to say that because it's more like secular. But you will have an impression inside of you that will feel like words. But it's inside. It's a, mm-hmm. You hear it inside of you. You sense it inside of you, in your core, like in the midsection of you. It's like usually between like your chest area and your stomach area, that mm-hmm. the middle of you. That's where the Holy Spirit lives in the believer. And so you need to direct your hearing to that point, okay. to that point of view. Like just sit there and look in, like direct your hearing inwardly, and have a piece of paper in a journal, whatever you're gonna write on, and whatever you feel like you hear, whatever you feel like is communicated, just write it out. Just write it. Don't try to think about it. Don't try to say this makes sense. No, just write whatever it is that comes up. So have your pen and paper ready when you sit down, and whatever you feel like you hear, just write it, and do that for 7 days, because that's going to show you that God is impressing something in your heart. It's going to show you. And even what's going to happen is, I guarantee you, is that whatever you've been dealing with, it's within those 7 days, the Holy Spirit will speak something about that even.
Right.
You know, he'll just speak something and you'll be like, oh, I know that was for that. Or he'll like give you a scripture and you're like, oh God, I forgot all about that scripture. And right. I, you know, that's what he does. And then he's going to show you that it's an easy thing. He's been trying to speak to you. He's been trying to communicate to you what you need to do or what you need to be thinking or believing about whatever it is you're going through. But we just haven't trained ourselves to listen, because listening to the Holy Spirit is a different frequency than human communication.
Right.
So we just have to get on his frequency, learn to listen on his frequency, which is inside of us. We just have to learn that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, thank you so much, Marzette. And I do want to encourage you guys, at least give yourself 7 days, or what I do, give yourself until you hear it. Hear the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's mm-hmm. a lot of distractions and stuff
a lot
like
of
that.
Distractions.
Well, thank you for being part of the podcast, and thank you guys for listening. If this podcast meant to you, tell us when your services are, if they want to come to visit your church.
Well, every week service on
okay.
Wednesdays, because every Sunday they'll lose us because we're every other Sunday. So
okay.
you have to call
right.
me to figure it out, and that's a lot. But every Wednesday, every single Wednesday, we have a faith empowerment gathering
okay.
every Wednesday. At 7 p.m.
Okay. And how do they find it on? Do you have a web page?
Yeah. You could go to www.innercitywomenoffaith.org.
Okay.
It's for men and women.
Okay.
It's a faith empowerment gathering. We empower people to learn how to live in wholeness in every area of their lives, and learning how to be in tune with the Holy Spirit in every area of their lives. It's every Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Okay.
Can I say, well, go to the website.
Okay,
the address. It's in Los Angeles on 48th and Crenshaw at 4708 Crenshaw Boulevard.
Okay.
But you can go to our website, innercitywomenoffaith.org. That's innercitywomenoffaith.org. or you can join us on Facebook Live. We have Facebook Live. We broadcast these faith empowerment gatherings on Facebook Live every Wednesday at 7 p.m. And yeah,
you get all high tech, aren't you?
Yeah. Oh wait, I got a third. And also, or you can join us by phone on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. I'll give you the number. Okay. By phone at 800-719-6100. And then dial the access code 700-5839. But our website has all that too, innercitywomenoffaith.org. So go to that.
Okay, and if you can't write it down, just look at the link below the podcast. I'll have it all right now for you.
Okay, do that. Yeah.
So thank you so much. And if you want to be part of our church, we meet every Sunday at 10 o'clock, and we have a great service. Thank you for joining us. This is the second to the last podcast that we'll be doing. We've did our podcast from November all the way to the end of May. So we have one more podcast to do, and then we're going to take a hiatus for the summer months, and we'll restart the Humpback podcast in September. So we have one more podcast. Join us next week. God bless you. And remember, every day is a gift from God. Use it wisely. God bless.
Amen.
Bye-bye.
Amen. All right.
Good. Thank
you, Lord. Yes, that was great. That was great. Thank you, Pastor Kevin.